right in the middle of Paul explaining how families should be treating one another, Paul puts this amazing passage in here. By the way, if you read the rest of this passage, it's all in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. A wife submits to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. And it's all a passage about how when God's the middle of a home, they are not only pleasing to the Lord, but they are pleasing to one another. And in the middle of this passage, there is this part that talks about this wonderful relationship that Christ has with his church. As Paul's writing this, I wonder as he started to write it, and he was writing about the relationship of husband and wife, and he started to write about Christ and the church, it's as if Paul loses himself in the wonder of looking at the church as the bride of Christ, and he's like, he gets this picture of this wonderful bride and the things that went into preparing her for the very day that she would walk down. I love the fact that when I do weddings, I get to stand next to the groom. And as they open those doors and that bride walks in, and if they've done the right thing, this is the first time he sees her in her wedding dress. And to hear that, like, wow, you know. Sometimes I jab him like in the side, like, hello, look at that, man. She's coming down here. Her father is not taking her out of here. You are. This is a wonderful passage because Paul, in explaining the relationship of husband and wife, really ends up explaining the relationship between Christ and the church. And even at the end, he says, and by the way, you know, all this explanation I've given, it's really a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. He relates it to the family, but he wants them to realize this. It's like he's taking neons and saying, don't miss how important and wonderful this is because of how much Christ loves his church. If you were to look at the words that are used here, and I'm just going to read them out to you. It says, Christ loved her and gave himself up. There are five verbs or five parts of this. He gave himself up for her to sanctify her for the cleansing of her that he might present her to himself a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be wonderfully his bride. You know, I don't know if my wife's listening in the back there. I guess I'll find out later. When we got married, my mother-in-law and my wife did most of the preparations. You know, it's funny when you are doing premarital counseling with people and you're talking about the plans that are coming up, the guy knows about this much, okay? The guy knows about this much. The mothers, and especially the bride, know about this much. Because the guy knows, I've got to show up. Buddy, there's a lot of preparation that has gone into this whole day. It was different when our daughter got married. Because now I was the father of the bride-to-be. Now I was behind the scenes. And it was really cool. We got to go to the fittings. Guys, by the way, that's not the first time she put on that wedding dress. She's put it on probably about 5 or 6 times, always making a few adjustments, a few stitches. You see the finished product, but there's been a lot that has gone into that. We got to talk to the florist. You see, guys, let me clue you in. How the church looks, how the flowers look, how the decorations look, that's part of how she looks. This is not window dressing. This is the care that goes into presenting this bride. The visits to the florist, talking with Sandy Seeley, deciding what things going to Amazon, ordering tons of things, lanterns and these little lights that hang across the top and everything like that. And by the way, the day that they get up, the guy gets up, puts on his tuxedo and shows up. The girl, she's up like 5, 6 in the morning. If it's a morning wedding, she's up 4 in the morning. She's going to go get her hair done. She's going to get her makeup done. Why? Because today is the day that she gives herself away. Today is the day that her father walks her down the aisle and she will belong to another. It was amazing to see this firsthand, but let me tell you something more amazing. Jesus did that for us. But Jesus found us on the street. Jesus found us on the broad way that leads to destruction. This was not somebody looking to be his bride. This was somebody sold into slavery. This was somebody heading for death. And Jesus bought us out of the marketplace. You see, involved in a wedding is the seamstress, the hair dresser, the makeup artist, the florist. Jesus was all those. But we didn't smell pretty. We smelled like sulfur of hell. And Jesus came along, and he bought us, cleaned us up, and then, in order for us to have something to wear, he died. You see, this was not a wedding dress that just you were able to go to David's bridal. This is a wedding dress. It's called the righteousness of Christ, and the only way that we could have it was for him to take our garment, soiled, and to die. The reason that you and I can appear in white is because Jesus appeared in the flesh and took our sin, and he died. And so when it comes for him to present us to himself, we're not just wearing any wedding dress. We're wearing a garment that was made possible by the blood of Christ. The Bible has a lot of things to say about what we were like. You see, we were in a legal mess. We were the enemies of God, and we were under God's wrath. We were a health mess. We were dead. How can a bride who is dead get married? She can't, unless there is resurrection life. The Bible has this to say. You can look these up later. It's Galatians 3:23. While we were imprisoned, Christ came that we could be liberated and made free in his blood. Galatians 4:3, we were enslaved. We were enslaved to the things of this world. And Jesus Christ came and set us free so that we could now be his servants. Ephesians 2, while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us and gave us new life. And I'd like to read a Romans 5 passage that has so many of the we were's. Romans 5, beginning at verse 6. While we were helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know what's cool? Today, Chris and Debbie Kleinster are here. I married them. Well, I didn't marry them. I did their wedding ceremony, along with the people sitting next to them, Beth and Roger, and along with many of you who are sitting here today. And I got to watch as those doors opened. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that today we come to celebrate with our groom? And we're going to do that in a little while. But first I'm going to ask if the Kleinstras would come.
We turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and all their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
I'd like to speak to you from this passage in a way that I'm hoping that will make as much an impression on you as it has on me. The first part that we talked about was how Christ gave himself for the church. Christ gave himself to establish the church. Christ gave himself, he sacrificed himself, he died on the cross. Do you know what Christ gives to the church, though? He gives us each other. Look at the person next to you. They are a gift from God to you in this church. Now, you may be like, can I look the other way, please? You know? We have this concept that we can do church, we can do Christianity, we can do serving God without anybody else. We kind of like get this concept like the Lone Ranger. You know, the Bible doesn't talk that way. It's not for that at all. This passage talks about how we are gifts from God to each other in the church. That passage starts out with the call to unity, and it talks about some necessary character qualities: humility, patience, long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? We're willing to suffer long with each other. These are all character qualities that don't come from us. We are not that way. These are character qualities that comes from the one who sacrificed himself for us and now turns around and says, you need to sacrifice. You need to sacrifice for Eli because he's your brother in Christ. He's part of this body. Eli, you need to sacrifice for Brady. What have you done for Brady lately? You drive him everywhere? Okay, forget it. That passage, though, goes on, and it talks not only about the character quality, but it says, listen, this is not just something that is pie in the sky. It says, listen, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is in all and through all. And it talks about how in Jesus Christ we are one, and it says that we are the body of Christ. We are one body in Christ. You don't get to move to another place and say, I want to start a different body. You are part of the body of Christ. And if you are a believer, the person next to you is an essential part of the body of Christ. And you are called into a unity that is in this body. And that person next to you is actually a gift from God to you in this church and in this body. Please note that it says Christ ascended on high and he gave gifts to men. And then he talks about those gifts. They're gifts, but did you notice that they are people? He gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and some to be teachers. But for what purpose? So that everybody could admire them? No, so that they could equip the body, you, for the work of the ministry until we all come into the unity of faith. Hey, I cannot be complete without Caleb Nastasi. I can't decide one day that I don't need the Holmans anymore. Because the Holmans are part of my church, and they're part of my body. And God has gifted them. Do you know how many years Ruthie has put into Awana? How many years, Miss Ruthie?
Almost 50.
Ruthie's put as many years into Awana as I've been alive. And we could walk around this. I don't just get to decide which of you I like or I don't like, and which of you are non-essential or essential. You know what? The Bible says that we're to equip each other for the work of the ministry, that we might be a united body in Christ. And he goes on and he talks about that ministry is that we would build each other up as every part supplies its part. And that means that if you aren't working, you're not supplying the part that God has put you in this body for, and we're all suffering for it. But what it does say is that when you are doing that part, we are all benefiting for it, and Jesus Christ is the one who is getting the glory. Communion. I want you to, because that's what we're going to do next. That's all we're, the rest of this time is going to be all communion. You know what communion reminds us? That there is to be this, and that's what these two parts of this message have been. That communion that we have with the Father because of Jesus Christ, and that communion that we have with another because of Jesus Christ. This table brings us together because Jesus is the one who brought us together through putting to death the judgment that there was between us and God and putting to death the unforgiveness that is between us and others and the broken relationships. So as we go through this communion time, remember, you know, if we were going to do this, you know what I was going to have you do? But I just could see a few spills and a few drops. I was going to have you, as you pass the plate, serve it to the person right next to you. Instead of taking your own, serve it to the person next to you. Because that's why we're here. We're here to serve one another in love. The love and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us is the love and sacrifice that we show to one another. So if I could have the deacons come forward, and we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us as we start communion together. Please bow with me. Our Lord Jesus, we come to acknowledge that were it not for the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that what we would look forward to is judgment. But because of the blood and the body that has been sacrificed by you, Lord, what we know is forgiveness. And what we have to look forward to is heaven. I pray for the person here today that does not know Jesus Christ, that it would become very clear to them. I also pray, Lord, for the person that thinks they know Jesus and they don't, that also would become very clear to them. And I pray, Lord, that most of all, as we go through this communion service, it would be acknowledging that it is your sacrifice that brings us together with the Father and brings us together with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we adore you. We look to you for strength, for wisdom, for guidance. And it's your kingship that we worship. God, I'm sure that we all have many sins in our lives. And we need your forgiveness. So even now, Lord, the sins that are in my life, please forgive me. If I've offended others, if I've said things I shouldn't have said, if I've thought things I shouldn't have thought, please forgive me now. God, we thank you for your Son, for Jesus Christ. He shouldn't have had to have died for me. I'm not deserving of it. None of us are. But it's because of Jesus Christ that we're here today to give him the worship. Because he shed his blood for me. He shed his blood for everyone in here. God, I pray that today we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, to use the gifts that you've given us, that we would come alongside one another and we would put our petty differences aside because they don't matter, and what does matter is you. What does matter is the millions of people that are out there that don't know who you are. God, I pray that we would get a fire inside of us to spread your word, to share the love of Christ, and to bring people into the fold. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us now, that gives us the strength we need to live in this sinful world. I pray that we would rely on the Holy Spirit as you have given him to us. We thank you for Christ's sacrifice, and it's in his name that we pray and partake of this communion. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I hear, let me start that lower. I hear my Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and Hilda's heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you. Just the very fact that we do come before you is amazing. We're in your presence now. We're before your very throne. Our advocate is by your side, our Jesus, who shed his blood for our sins, who presented that before you. And it's acceptable to you. It is acceptable payment for our sins. Lord, we pray that we might use this time that we come together before your throne with our brothers and sisters, recognizing the relationship we have with you, one of those that are forgiven and reborn, and the relationship that we have with each other, that is the ones that are on the road together as a family, the ones that will never be separated. Lord, my brothers and sisters that are here, I will never be apart from ever, ever, ever again. And I just pray that we, at this time, at this communion, at this coming together, we might recognize that and say thank you. We lift you up, we praise you, we ask you to teach us, Lord, to love each other more. And we pray these things in the name of our Savior, who came for us, who died for us, who's coming again someday soon.
Hallelujah.
And we wait for him. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Amen. same way Jesus, after supper had been finished, took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he said, "This cup is the new covenant which is in my blood, which is in for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake. Deacons are going to pass among you for the deacon fund offering, but I'd like you to listen to a passage and have a prayer before we do this, because sometimes we have things that seem like tack-ons and never should be that way. Please listen.
I'm going to read First John 3:16-18. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Amen. Let's bow our head in prayer. God, we thank you for everything you have done for us, God, Lord. We thank you for the Deacon Fund that we are able to collect here every first Sunday of the month at First Baptist. We thank you for the blessing that it brings to us, the Deacon Board, not only from the people who participate in it, but also to those whom we are able to help with it, who are in need. Lord, we ask that you bless those who are willing largely to help with the Deacon Fund, and that you bless those funds that we may be able to bring not only relief, but joy and love to many who are in need in the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You remember this song? Sing it with me as they pass. Have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken road. Walk this road, no one may, but you shall hope, find the path of glory. Abide with me. close at this point. I'm going to ask George, as the head of our deacon board, and Joe Grillo, to close us in prayer, because we're to be the body of Christ reaching the world around us. We're not here to just spend time here. We're here to spend time for eternity. And I pray that we as a congregation will always do that, because the time is getting closer. And so I'm asking these two to close our service out.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've called us to, how you use us. And I pray that you would teach us, as you use us, to be used together, to walk together, to grow together, to know you better together. Lord, we just thank you so much for the body that you've given to us, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are part of that. And I pray that we might work in unity to achieve your goals here on this earth. We pray that your will would be done here on earth, in us, through you. We thank you so much for the calling that you've given to us as your children. And we just pray, Lord, that as we go out from here, as we move on and go through the week, that you would bring us back again in unity and in love for each other and for you. Help us to serve you wherever we go. We pray in your Son's name.
Sorry, guys, I've got some thoughts on a postcard. All right, Lord, we come under one roof, Lord, one church, to take part of communion, Lord. And as I was pointed out yesterday, that it's not just here, but in other countries, Lord, out in the open and under a veil, and all for your name's sake, Lord. And that amazes me. So today, we come together and pray, Lord, help us to be a unified body of believers. Give us boldness and a renewed spirit of commitment to you and the gospel. Help us to live out your truth so that our love and commitment to you and one another would be sincere. Make us unified so that you would be glorified. Remind us that we are one body. We pray for humility and hearts willing to serve. We pray for our pastors and their families. We thank you for their commitment and pray you would renew and refresh them. We pray for wisdom, endurance, and perseverance to do what you have them to do. We lift up our leadership that we would be those leading in humility and love, and remind us that all of the ministries that are not ours but yours, and we are your servants. Help us to do your will and not ours. We lift up our youth. May their lives be dedicated to you, to serving you. Give them wisdom, courage, and boldness to stand firm for Christ. We love you and commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. See you at lunch.